What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It's a Q&A show. I know a lot of you are new. It's a Q&A show. That's about it. I'll answer honestly. I'll give you what details I can. There will unfortunately be some things that I don't have details on, but I'll be transparent about that. I can't know everything, but I'll try to find out as best I can, guys. If your question got asked twice, I will just skip over it. It's not me ignoring you or anything, but in an effort to sort of save time and keep the flow smooth, I will skip over it if it's already been asked on this show. If it's been asked in a previous week, I'll probably answer it. But thank you guys. Over 120 of you sent in questions. So thank you all so much. Skylar Russell says, who else do you think deserves a spot in the ROH Women's Title Tournament, and who do you think should win the whole thing? So there are a lot of people that I think should get a spot in that tournament. Trish Adora, Jody Threat, Lady Frost. There are a whole lot of people that I think should really get a crack in there. Allison Kay probably should. Alley Cat should. There's so much talent. Ashley Vox, I think that she would be a really good shout. Hyann. There's just a wealth of talent. Who do I think should win the whole thing? Probably someone that they have anchored down. If they can manage to get one of the female releases from April, that would be good. Obviously, Ruby Riott will be unable to do it right now. But when I look at their roster, I think it should probably be a new signing and somebody else that they bring in. Because all due respect to the Mandy Leones of the world, that division needs a veteran. And you've already went the Sumi Sakai route. If Maria Manic is good to go and she's ready, then her. I think Kellyanne Fiend would be a good choice as well. There are some good options there, but I would go with a bit of a fresher name that has not had a gigantic run somewhere. Like I wouldn't do an Angelina Love or somebody like that. Kayvon says, if you could interview Vince McMahon, what are the first two questions you ask him given the speculation that the company is gearing up to entertain a sale? Well, I would not ask him that because he'd say we're always open for business. That's what he would always say. I would ask him if he thinks that the manner in which he's booking things increases the value of the company and why they redo so many things. Reed says, what do you think is the biggest missed opportunity has been in wrestling in the past? Well, I don't want to say the biggest missed opportunity, but a big one is the constant fumbling of Bray Wyatt over the past 8 years. This guy thinks of creative things and pulls off everything that he's given for a brief amount of time, and then they book him to either do nothing or he just is relegated. And I think that's pretty rough. And he could have made a lot more money than what he's making now if they would have booked him better. And I think it's a big missed opportunity. I think he would be better off as horror movie, final boss, creepy guy, as opposed to like what all the things that he's done. Jason said, you say the New Japan WWE talk from last week wasn't what people thought it was. Can you elaborate on that a bit? I'm going to elaborate on it a bit more next week, but from what I understand, at least the people that I spoke to, I'm not trying to debunk Dave's report or anything because obviously he has better New Japan sources than I have. But from what I understand, it was a bit of an inquiry as opposed to, at least the people that I spoke with believe that it's an inquiry as opposed to a hard discussion. Russ says, is there legitimacy to the claims that Braun won't go to another company? I can't pretend to understand the motivations of a millionaire, and Braun's a millionaire, so I don't know what he would or wouldn't do. I don't know if he'll re-sign. I don't know his goals. He might want to go to host a TV show or something. Like, there are real options there. I Am Lucha says, we both thought Double or Nothing was the end of the Inner Circle. The victory was fun, but how did they achieve the individual goals Jericho mentioned in the scrum? Do you see them wearing all the gold? No, I don't think Jericho will ever win the world title again. Maybe the TNT title, maybe another title, but I don't think he'll win the world title again. I don't think they will accomplish those specific goals. I think Santana and Ortiz will get there, and I think that Sammy will get there. I think Sammy's a future world champion. Montreal says, what's your biggest piece of advice to an aspiring wrestling journalist who wants to break into pro wrestling? I'm a journalism major who graduates next year. You will take a lot of great lessons from sports journalism and journalism in general. My two best pieces of advice in pro wrestling are, one, produce content. And you might say, how or what do you mean? All kinds. Do transcripts, do live results, do news articles, do opinion articles, do anything that you can, do podcast recaps, produce audio, produce video, do video podcasts. Learn how to do all those different things. That way you'll be trusted with anything. Learn how to make thumbnails, which is something that I'm still not good at. But learn how to do all that. And beyond that, don't make stuff up. Never, ever, ever make stuff up. If you do, you will not last. It is far too easy to get your shit debunked if you're making stuff up. There is zero longevity in making things up. I know that for a lot of people, they think that it's a shortcut and you always get found out. Somebody is always one tweet away from debunking a fake thing that somebody writes. So just don't ever do that. Danny says, I'm surprised nobody asked Tony Khan about potential interest he had in any of the wrestlers released in April, or Bryan Danielson. Does AEW request you keep questions related to the activities that weekend? No, they don't. You know what? Now that you mention it, I'm a little bit surprised as well. But we've also been a part of enough of those Tony Khan things to know that until somebody is completely free, he will not talk about them. That being said, I'm very surprised nobody asked about Bryan Danielson, and I wish we would have. That was definitely an oversight on my part, and I apologize for that. Jack says, do you have any updates on Speedball Mike Bailey? Observer said he's in news with WWE. Any further comment? I do not have any updates on that. Sounds like I should probably try to interview him before it's a little too late. But I don't have any additional information, but I can tell you that Speedball Mike Bailey is a very well-liked guy. Eric Shepard says, where do you think AEW will go with Cody on screen? Do you think a heel turn is coming at any point soon? Ugh. This is how we're going to find out how well Cody listens to his audience. Because there's a real good chance we could go towards Cody, pro-USA, versus Miro, anti-USA, and I think it'll backfire. Or he could just lean into it and turn heel. Colt Badeau says, do you think any of the release talent will come back this year after the start of touring? I can see Braun or Ruby coming back, he says. Yeah, I think Braun will come back. I think they'll probably offer Braun half or so of what he's making, and he'll probably come back. Anthony R. says, this one might be complicated. Do you believe all these releases are a combination of the pandemic, and then before the pandemic, them signing up so many wrestlers before AEW had established anything? Yes. Yes, I do think that this is a bit of a panic button thing, and you had mentioned that the finances are not going to be as bad as they think they're going to be. Yes, I believe that's the case too. But also, WWE's got a significantly declining quality of product as well, and regardless of what anybody will pretend to tell you, that does have an impact on your bottom line. They would be making a lot more money if they made a better product. They'd be getting paid a lot more because more people would be watching. And I think that has a lot to do with it too. I think the declining quality of their product and their financial forecast has led to this, as well as prepping for a sale. Will says, when PWG starts running again, do you think they'll be allowed to use AEW talent? Some of them, yes. I think there are a few that will request it. Anthony says, I keep hearing WWE wants to be Marvel, but I don't see how their IP is comparable. Can you explain this line of thinking? They want to be a content creation company in which they have talent, but Marvel is sort of the marquee, I think. But that's not the case. All those people are individually stars. So I don't think that the line of thinking there is quite the way they want it to be. You have to make a compelling product in order to make individual stars. You have to make individual stars to create an IP like Marvel. I think they're way over their head on that one. Darius says, are there any plans of a pay-per-view in the UK when all the restrictions are gone? They haven't even began to talk about that as of yet. Reese Hayes does a question that's similar to the ROH thing. He says, who are the best women right now that you're surprised haven't been signed? So basically everybody I mentioned in the ROH thing, like I'm shocked that Jody Threat is not on TV right now. I'm shocked that Trish Adora isn't, that Allison Kay isn't. There's a lot of them that it should be. TKO Boy says, with the recent deals between WWE, Peacock, AEW adding more TV, Turner, and even MLW getting a deal with Vice, do you think there's potential for Impact to get to a better, larger network within the next year or two? Well, I think because of the nature of Access owning, or Anthem owning Access, rather, they want content for that and Fight Network. But if I were Anthem, I would be looking to get Impact on something better, yes. I just don't know what that is. Like, they've got a Twitch deal, they've got this. I'm very confused by the financial business model of Impact Wrestling, so I can't pretend to understand that. But, like, I watch Impact on Access and I see commercials just for stuff on Access, as opposed to a lot of products. I see commercials about a Sammy Hagar concert that's airing on Access. It's a puzzling business model for me. And in that vein, it's like you want to make more money, right? You want to make more money so you can bring in more talent? So yeah, I think they should try to get it on another channel. Zach Levine says, any update on the Kelly Klein and Joey Mercury ROH lawsuits? Also, is there any issue with them being represented by Stephen New, one of the main advertisers for MLW? Whole thing seems perplexing. Whole thing seems perplexing is... yeah, something I agree with. As far as Stephen New, I'm not that familiar with him. Not that familiar with him at all. But I'm most familiar with him because of MLW. But I don't know if the way that Joey says things on Twitter are going to help that situation. But that's the only update I have. David says, was fun watching you and Ollie Davis on video together doing the review. Any more planned podcasts with them? Not planned. I'm always open to doing stuff with them and Steven Larson. Because of the new contract that I have with Fightful, generally I'm supposed to get things cleared, and that's why I do fewer outside things than usual. But like for example, I did Bischoff's show this week. I did Wrestle Talk this week. I'll always do Steven Larson or Matt Men if they ever ask to. So, yeah, there's always some people that I'm excited to work with and will definitely jump on and do stuff with. TalkSport and Alex McCarthy, any of that stuff I'll do. I'm always more open to doing stuff over in the UK because, you know, our foothold is always expanding over there, so that helps out a lot. And I love the WrestleTalk guys, just wonderful people. On top of being fun and entertaining, they really get that you can cover this stuff, but add your opinion and add some entertainment to it as well, and I really admire those guys. Shane says, can you imagine another super show similar to All In? Yes, I think next year we will see a super show. That's not me reporting, that is a hunch, but yeah, I think that will happen. Jake says, any word on a rescheduled date for New Japan at Madison Square Garden? Nope, haven't heard a thing. I've asked, and I don't think they know either. Nathan says, I know he burned a lot of bridges when shitting on the indies, but do you think Braun Strowman in New Japan would work? Yes, I would, but he would have to be open to working that style as well. He'd have to be open to getting suplexed and dumped on his head and all that. So I think that he would work very well there. Riley says, after the reveal of the new AEW action figures at FanFest, how do you feel about them? I know that you grew up during the time of Wrestling Buddies being huge, so you can maybe express the potential importance of AEW having Wrestling Buddies. Well, as you guys know, many of you know, I collect some wrestling figures. It helped pull me out of a pretty deep depression last year, familiarizing myself with something that made me happy again. So I collect in-box AEW figures, and I fully intend eventually to sell them, probably when I retire or something. Want them to appreciate in value, all that good stuff. And I've only got one out of the box because I put together an authentic scale ring, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not a huge fan of the figures themselves. I'm just not. It's just not for me. But they look beautiful. I love the LGN styles they're doing. I think that is super cool. I hope they do bone crunching style, and that's what the Unmatched series is. They're going to kind of go back to some styles of the past. I saw the Wrestling Buddies. I'm excited that they're doing it. I'm not sure if what they had on display was the final product, but I do have some criticisms. They are not nearly as big as the original Wrestling Buddies, and I happen to know because for some reason I bought a Ted DiBiase Wrestling Buddy about a month ago from my friends at Toy Vomit. It's probably going to be in my set eventually when I move, but I had one when I was younger. Now, a big reason why the WCW Wrestling Buddy style things didn't get as much love as the WWF ones, they didn't have the stuffed nose. They would stitch out a nose and they would stuff the nose. When you're a little kid, you punch it, you like feel the nose. It was flat on the versions that I saw in person. So hope that helps a little bit. I think that they can refine them and make them better. They need to make them bigger. They're too small. I remember WWF would always try to come back and be like, oh, we got these new things like Bone Crunching Buddies and all this. They were just way too small. If you're a kid, you want to wrestle something that's a little closer to your size. That way you can pretend you're beating up Ted DiBiase. So there you go. I know way too much of that for a person my age. Sean says, what's next for Liv Morgan after Ruby Riott's release? Will she receive a singles push? I don't think she will. She should, though. I got nothing but good things to say about Liv Morgan. I hear nothing but positive things about her and how hard she works, and I love her work. She should get a push. I just don't think she will. Nick Wolf says, how soon before Buddy Murphy is the light heavyweight champion in New Japan or New Japan strong champion? I think he'll work both of them, and I think he'll do really good. I think that's his golden ticket, working New Japan and AEW. I know a lot of people in AEW want to work with him. Brian Bayless says, is there any heat on Hangman Page after recent matches where his opponents Ricky Starks and Joey Janela both got injured? He absolutely waffled Janela with the buckshot lariat this past Friday. I haven't heard of any. I saw Joey the next night. He seemed fine. I talked to him. He was all good to go. He didn't mention any heat. Didn't mention anything like that. And I was talking to him and another wrestler about injuries and being banged up. And he seemed all right. But I haven't heard of any heat on Hangman Page whatsoever about that. You lay it in there, man. You lay it in. Joel Wood says, it seems Nick Khan is determined to get WWE out there in the landscape with other companies. There's been rumors of MLW in New Japan. Do you think he'll ever nail down a partnership with somebody significant, or do you think it'll blow over without getting any deals done? Joel, I think it'll blow over without getting any deals done. That's what I think. I haven't heard anything else about the MLW-WWE deal since the day that it was kind of put out there, and I heard a lot about it. But since then, I haven't heard really anything. And unless Dave's sources are telling him something significantly different in the last week than mine have, and that's possible because, as mentioned, Dave probably has better New Japan sources than me, I don't know that that will necessarily go much of anywhere outside of a platform. Boris says, are the releases that WWE has 90-day no-competes? I saw someone saying it was longer for these to be after All Out. Nope, they're 90 days. They are very much 90-day no-competes. Trent says, was there any truth to the rumors of Vega going back to WWE? If so, could Black's release affect her decision to make her go in a different direction, perhaps the Impact? I know WWE was interested in doing something with her. They wanted to bring her back in. At least one person that I spoke to did, and a second person said they were hopeful. She was at the Performance Center a couple weeks ago. She was filmed there. I don't know what the plans are or were for that specifically, but the talent there was under the impression that she was supposed to come back in. I don't know if they had a deal in place or do have a deal in place. I've not heard of a contract being signed, but that doesn't mean it isn't. Chris Pierce says, in the few years since AEW has been around, do you think they've done a better job of making fans care about their wrestlers than WWE? Yes, by far. Not even close. Not even close. Yes. They are so much better at highlighting the fact that wins and losses matter and that it's relevant to the crowd reaction. Matt Payne says, congrats on the traffic and the views yesterday, even though it's not stories anyone wants to cover, losing their job. My question is, when you found out Tuesday night's releases were going to occur, did you let anyone else know of them on the Fightful team or any other journalist? Or was mom until you broke it? Thanks again for everything, SRS. So when I got this news, I was asked to do what is called an embargo, not with those specific words, but it's an informal one, essentially. It was told, please do not put this out there until the talent know. And I said, yes, of course, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't have done that anyway. But yeah, I let Jimmy know and certain members of my staff that needed to know that type of thing. And yeah, then I went to work trying to verify if it was true. And unfortunately, it was very true. It sucks a lot. It was a very sad bummer of a day, but unfortunately, that's a part of the job. Chris says, was there ever any consideration having Peacock authenticate people on the existing WWE Network app, or was the goal always to move people to Peacock? I think it was considered, but this was to add subscribers to Peacock. Justin says, if you were in charge of trading one and only one WWE act and only one AEW act, what would it be? I would trade Roman Reigns for an expiring contract. That way I wouldn't have to watch SmackDown on Fridays anymore and I could just get all the good stuff on AEW. I guess if you want a real answer, I mean, I would legit love to see Roman Reigns in an AEW environment. Oh boy. I'd go Charlotte Flair for Cody Rhodes. I think Cody could fit in with WWE very, very well right now. And I think Charlotte Flair would add like a marquee name to the women's division. Kevin Seat says, saw Steven Jensen bring up the point that PC has failed its purpose for the most part, trains indie talent for TV instead of creating homegrown talent. Do you agree? To some degree, yeah, but I mean, there are talent that came up in the WWE system, like Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair and Braun Strowman, and I mean, a bunch of other people that got released. But it's an indie company at this point, and that's probably how it should be. You should probably see that people love wrestling before you break them in. You know what I mean? Lou Markham says, do you think this and last year's releases indicate that they have learned to live with AEW rather than not caring about them at all? Yes. They were hoarding talent and now they're not. I think that's absolutely just something that they've learned to live with, and they probably think that they're too big to be affected by anything. Jamaica says, what type of writers, if any, are you in Fightful looking for? We're not necessarily hiring right now, so to speak, but usually feature writers, profile pieces, so to speak. And those we generally keep pretty positive, but we're open to anything. We'll look at pitches, not actively hiring. We've got a bunch of budget being switched around. But for the magazine, we're always looking for magazine writers to contribute. So hopefully we'll have more on that soon. Colby Applegate says, any word on where Tyler Rust and Malcolm Bivens are? Lack of creative plans, maybe. I asked about them the other day, and I heard they've been around the PC. They've been around the Performance Center. But I was told there were plans. I just weren't told what those plans were. Just that there were plans, because when anybody gets off TV for a couple months at a time, I'm naturally going to ask, like, are they on the chopping block? Are they okay? And I was told they were plans. Peter says, with Cody hinting a trios title being talked about on the media call last week, do you think we'll see them introduced this year? Yes, I think we will. I think we'll see them introduced probably later in the year. That seems like a good thing for them to launch Rampage with and maybe wrap that up at All Out for a title match. Eric says, do you know what the plans are going forward for Darby Allin and Sammy? Will Darby get a singles match against Ethan Page? Will Sammy get pushed as a singles competitor? Last I heard, it was Sammy as a singles, and I think that Darby was supposed to do some more stuff with Page, although, you know, obviously, it's not the kind of thing that I hit up Ethan Page and say, hey man, what are your creative plans? Because he knows that I'd probably feel like reporting that. But the last I'd heard from other people was that they really liked the Darby Allin Ethan Page interactions. Chad Schultz says, this is an Impact fan, how does it make money? I don't know. I mentioned that earlier. I don't want to cheat you out of your answer, but you did ask another question. He says, you've teased Impact talking to some of the free agents whose 90 days are up by Slammiversary. Anything else to report on that? Yes. I've heard that At least one of them is planning on coming in, but no contracts have been signed. Daisy Foster says, are all AEW shows forward going to be live, or will they be a mixture of live and pre-taped? Dynamite, once they start going live, they will be live, unless it is preempted. Rampage will be live before pay-per-views, and then will be taped otherwise, and Dark and Elevation will almost always be taped. Alex Levy says, hey Sean, new to Select, thanks for all you do. Where would you like to see Ruby Riott pop up? AEW. I mean, AEW because it's the show that I enjoy watching the most, and I want to see a more robust roster there. I just enjoy what they do. Like, anytime somebody says, hey, what show do you enjoy watching the most? It's definitely AEW these days. MLW has a really good show as well. But I feel like if AEW wants her and MLW wants her, I think that AEW stands a bit of a better chance. And MLW doesn't have a firmly entrenched female roster, although she would be a hell of an anchor. Raymond says, what are the some tactics wrestling companies use to identify who's leaking to wrestling journalists? So unfortunately, sometimes people send me Reddit threads, and I can't help myself but to look sometimes. But I saw one saying, oh, well, sometimes they feed Sean Ross Sapp fake news, and that's been proven. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. I've never had an issue with WWE feeding me fake information. My job as a media member is to find out that information, verify it, and then disseminate it. And we don't run stuff that, quite frankly, isn't true. And we've never had somebody that, like, in the company. We've had some people who pretended to be in the company try to do that, but then we sniff it out, like, almost immediately, and then we just don't talk to that person anymore, and that's it. I haven't heard of them doing anything to try to sniff things out. Like, I do know that one time Kazim Famuyide said that when the leaks were happening of the script, some people, like, he got a little bit of heat for being on his phone because people thought, oh, well, maybe he was talking to me, and I didn't know him then. There was more of it a couple years ago. I know that for some stuff, they have did, like, special watermarks. But quite frankly, WWE used to try really hard to see who I talked to, and then they found out some of those people who I talked to, because those people would just outwardly admit it, and those people are not going to get fired. Those people are not going to get let go. It's just not going to happen. So they've just softened a lot since then. They've been pretty positive. They've been pretty good to deal with over the last month or so, honestly. And yeah. And another thing I want to clear up, there are a lot of people, like, I'll occasionally see when there's, like, a copyright or DMCA or something like that, and they pull things down when they're using clips or whatever. There will be people that say, oh, WWE going after people that criticize them. That could not be further from the truth in my experience. PR people that I have dealt with and that I thought just outright didn't like me would actively encourage me to speak my mind on my opinion on the content of the show. We would be mid-argument, mid-discussion, so to speak, and they would say, we don't care what you say about the product. We don't care what your opinion is of the show. Like, they were, I was very surprised by that too, and very happy too, pleasantly surprised. But they would say, think what you want about the show. Make sure that the news is verifiable and accurate. And obviously, if I get a WWE sanctioned interview, don't go, like, off and bury everything because it's a WWE sanctioned interview. But hopefully that gave you guys a little bit of insight. But it's been pretty positive of late, actually. It wasn't necessarily prior to that, but I haven't really heard of tactics of WWE using anything to identify leaks, or ROH or MLW. Lucha Underground would try to. Lucha Underground would come after people for leaks and threaten legal action here and there. AEW, I mean, I know when they leaked the stuff, when somebody leaked the stuff on Reddit, there were wrestlers actively asking me if I knew who it was, and I didn't know who it was. I mean, I did help those wrestlers identify that it was not a wrestler that was doing it, But other than that, I'm not sure if they ever knew. We identified it was not Tino Sabatelli as once accused. But a lot of people in AEW are still very much in a honeymoon period, so to speak. So, like, a lot of the quote-unquote dirt, if any, doesn't usually get out. I mean, people are really happy there, in my experience. And I know that's not what some people want to hear, but sometimes there's just not as much dirt to sort of speak on. But, yeah, I mean, I still get plenty of backstage news about them, and they do put in documents leaks can cost people their jobs. So they just are straight up and saying part of your job description is not leaking information about our show. Brian says, do you think these last two rounds of cuts will have a noticeable change in the ratings demos? No, especially because these last ones came after a historic low after Labor Day. I think it'll just kind of blend right in. Brent says, was the plan for Carmella's brand new character always meant to be a way to get Reginald on the show and elevated? No, I don't think that was the basis of the gimmick. I think it was an unfortunate circumstance. Dev says, have you heard of any plans on how WWE plans to reinvigorate the main roster women's divisions after being gutted by releases? Well, right now, as I film this, Canyon Seaman, Bruce Pritchard, Johnny Ace, a couple others, Jamie Noble, and Matt Bloom are scouting talent at the PC. I mean, a couple of them work there anyway. But they're scouting talent for the PC for potential main roster runs. Sheila says, do you think TNT is concerned about Dynamite's ratings since the temporary time slot change? I imagine this is what the TBS deal is for, so the show can continue to succeed on its own and not get preempted. Yes, it is to help that, prevent scheduling conflicts, give a more regular push, so to speak. And, I mean, I think they'll do better than 500,000 when they get on Fridays full-time. And, I mean, they're being paid $10 million extra for this show. That's a deal. For 500,000 viewers, even, over the course of several years, an extra $10 million a year, that's a really good deal. Lots of questions about Brock Lesnar. People saying, do you think have any updates on when he would potentially return? I had heard they hadn't even spoken to him around WrestleMania, but I don't know how true that is. So I don't know. If he does return, who do I see him working with? Bobby Lashley. Brock is Brock and WWE is WWE, so he'll go straight into the title picture. Mateo says, with the recent backlash to all WWE firing, do you see this impacting a possible relationship with New Japan? Nope, not a single bit. Not a single bit. Steven says, with Braun being cut, do you think there will be less huge contracts to part-time wrestlers like Brock and Goldberg in the future? Yes. I think that this year's WrestleMania is a really good indicator that they're probably going to lean more into current and future talent and not hand out such big, ridiculous deals, unless it's tied to Saudi Arabia. Alex Levy had also mentioned Ruby Riott being a positive force backstage. My God, that's something that I constantly hear about, is how caring she was, how sweet she was to people that got hurt or got sick or anything like that. She would do something nice for them. And that's the kind of person you want in your locker room, but I think AEW would be the place for her. Austin says, anything on the feelings backstage at AEW about getting preempted for an entire month? With the momentum they're gaining and how bad last week's number was, couldn't seem like it came at a worse time. Any chance they find a different time slot for June? I wish they would. I wish they would. But no, I haven't heard anything negative about that. Like minor annoyance stuff, but they knew what they were getting into with this deal. Shea says, any news on Joe Hennig and if he plans on wrestling anywhere? I think EC3 wanted to do some stuff with him for the narrative and it just didn't work out. But I think he had a shoulder injury or had a shoulder taken care of over the last year, but haven't heard anything on the horizon about him wrestling again. Dylan says, has an interview subject ever lied to you so badly you had to call them out on it? Thank you. Not that I can remember. No, I don't think so. Matt says, have you heard any talk about the new hire, Jimmy Horowitz, and what his plan is? I know he's the one that made the embrace debate for morning sports talk TV, but he was also fired for Fox Sports for harassment. Seems like an interesting hire. Yeah, there's some people that have been let go that were not too thrilled about that. I can say that, and yeah. Yeah, I can say that. There are some people not so happy about that, and they think that it's tone deaf. Bezos says, if WWE are making record profits, why do they feel the need to keep cutting their roster? I think it's to position themselves for a sale. That's just the only way. That's the only way I think it makes sense. Amir says, is AEW currently profitable? Last I heard, yes. Ryan says, by your count, how many wrestlers does WWE currently employ? And do you think their days of hoarding talent is seemingly over? Do you expect more releases? Right now, it is about 90 on-screen performers on Raw and SmackDown, about 80 on NXT and 205 Live, about 60-ish in NXT UK, I think. Then there are dozens of the PC as well that I can't possibly keep track of all of them. So quite a few. I do think their days of hoarding talent are over for now. I do expect more releases. I just don't know if that's for certain. JM says, do you think the current format of Casino Battle Royale is working? The Joker spot seems to be a bit of a weird spot where people keep expecting a huge star rather than just a solid guy. Plus, so late in the match, the Joker can't do much before he has to get eliminated. Should they change the format? I think the format works for them. I think them going from having all five people entering at the same time to individual entrances works so much better. But I think it works. It's different. It takes some getting used to, but I definitely see your concerns. Ricardo says, are you going to get us interviews with any of the releases? I've reached out to a bunch. I get the feeling Aleister Black's probably not going to want to do an interview with us. I wish he would. I would love to talk to him. Reached out to Braun. I don't have a direct line with almost any other ones. Dave Snell says, did you ever try a papadilla from Papa John's? I was surprised how good they are. No, I'm so sick of hearing papadilla, and I'm not a big Papa John's guy. Patrick says, do you think for Raw and SmackDown in particular, they'll panic call up a chunk of the women's division to compensate for who they've cut the past couple of months? Personally, I could see Kacy and Caden on SmackDown very soon. Oh, I could too. I've been saying for a year, I think they're the kind that will just get called up. But yeah, I think they will panic call up a bunch of women, a ton of them. Bo Lively says, how do you cope with the negative aspects of your job, like having to report of people losing their jobs and dealing with speculations from readers and fans? First, the story isn't about me, so that's not how I want to make it sound. It was really fucking depressing knowing that people were going to lose their jobs before they did. And I'm not that great at dealing with negative stuff. There are times when, like, if somebody will criticize me and they're an absolute gobshite, I'll dunk on them and that's it. Or post that they follow me or something. But, I mean, it's nobody knows the type of things you get besides you. And I come from a very small town, so interacting with 75,000 people on Twitter, it's not all going to be winning interactions, I'll tell you that much. But I don't know. It's not fun to report about that stuff, and then it's not fun to see the fallout of that, and then, like, people making fun of shit like that. Not big on it. I don't know. It's definitely getting a little bit more difficult to adjust to the added attention, and then with more attention comes more stories, and then with more stories come more negative stories, and it's a bummer. It sucks. My heart broke for those people. Wild Boy says, is Cena under contract with WWE? Yes, I believe so. Abdullah says, when do you think Dynamite will go back to Wednesdays after the NBA playoffs? Any updates about the location of SummerSlam? Yes, they, from what I understand, they signed the deal last weekend. I just don't know what that deal is. Kelsey says, I know they've been used a few times in Dark and Elevation, but have you heard anything about interest in Blackwood and Garcia from AEW? I think that when they go back on the road, there's probably going to be more people that get signed. So I think that Daniel Garcia made a very good impression, and he's the type of guy that AEW is probably going to want to nail down soon. I know that they were interested in him. That's why they brought him in. As far as Blackwood, I don't have any updates on that. Rotiel says, how many fucks does it take to fuck that fuck? Just one, my friend. Jose says, with just three established women's tag teams on Raw, do you anticipate call-ups from NXT being made? Yeah, it'll just pillage the NXT roster, though. I think it'll just pillage it. Where do you think Santana Garrett will go? ROH and Impact. I don't think she'll end up in AEW. Matthew Reichel, who I met this weekend, says, with newly released WWE talent, will any of them be able to appear at All Out? Yes, everybody who has been released by WWE up to this point will be able to appear at All Out. Anakin JMT says, have you heard if Dark or Elevation will be shorter once AEW starts touring? Yeah, Tony Khan told me that personally, that would adjust the run times of those shows. Bradley Vance says, you get to book Tommy End in a non-WWE match tomorrow. Who is it against? Kenny Omega, I think. Yeah. Aleister Black called out wrestling journalists yesterday. Do you have thoughts or response to what he said? Yeah, I mean, I put out a Twitter thread about it. I mean, I have had similar conversations about this with Tommaso Ciampa personally, and then Johnny Gargano on screen. You can see it in our interview. It's easy for me to not be able to put myself in their shoes because, as I mentioned earlier, when it comes to grief that I get, it's very easy for me to see that and get down on myself and feel bad. And I'm not in their shoes. I'm not in Zelina Vega's shoes, Thea Trinidad's shoes, Aleister Black, Tommy End's shoes. I'm not them. I don't see what they get. I see some of it in replies to what I report. But just because I reported accurately, mind you, that Thea Trinidad was at the Performance Center, I was not responsible for whatever unfair or fair. And I'm not saying it was fair criticism, but I'm not responsible for the fair or unfair criticism that is thrown their way as a result of that. By the same token, they're not responsible for the ones that I get for stories that I write. But I do think that a lot of people, especially wrestlers my age, and Aleister Black is pretty close to my age, grew up on a lot of clickbait sites and what are called news sites with a Z and aggregators, but not a lot of the aggregators that you see today. I'm talking real lazy ones that would copy and paste stuff, would not follow up for comment, would not try to add any context, would not try to verify it, nothing like that. They wouldn't bother to reach out to anybody. They would just run it, and then sometimes they would just straight up make stuff up. That is not what we do. And when the story was mentioned about Zelina, and he specifically said, oh, well, it was somebody saying, yeah, subscribe to my Patreon. Well, yeah, that's how we pay our writers. And we'd prefer it not to be a Patreon. We'd prefer it to be the FightfulSelect.com paywall. But, I mean, I'm not comparing us to the New York Times, but newspapers have had a paywall for a very long time. And if you wanted to find out the information in those, you would pay for it. Now, I know for a long time it went to the other end of the spectrum where everything was free. I fought the paywall tooth and nail. I was wrong to fight the paywall tooth and nail. It has objectively helped my quality of life and my staff's quality of life. I passed up a raise for several years so my staff could get raises, and I was able to get my first raise, real raise, because of that paywall. But my primary issue with it wasn't that he talked about that. He's free to talk about that story. It's out there. It's news. It's his wife, for the love of God. So more power to him. But we were kind of lumped in with three other stories that I had, one, never heard of, and two, we didn't run on Fightful. Like, that wasn't us. Like, those things that he had criticism of, which I thought were fair criticism, those weren't things that we wrote. We never wrote that Lars Sullivan was supposed to win the NXT title. We didn't write that Aleister Black asked to be back in NXT. We didn't write that Asuka stormed out after her match. We didn't do that. Like, we did not write those stories. So I felt like we were lumped in there, and I think there are a lot of people in my generation that grew up on a lot of those news websites. I didn't know what the Wrestling Observer newsletter was before 2010, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. I did not have a high level of media literacy. When I learned what media literacy was in college, then I was like, okay, I need to start going to the source of this information rather than second, third, fourth hand. And then I need to examine that news source and say, is it reliable? Is it sensationalistic? Now, you could argue that no news is my news to break, and I get that, and that's completely at your discretion, but I think that Tommaso was one of those people. Somebody took a report that we had about him being on an injury report, and he was on the injury report. And he said, and they editorialized on it, and they added stuff that we didn't report. And he like kind of called us out over it. And I messaged him and I was like, hey man, that's not what I reported. I showed him what I reported. I showed him the injury report itself. And he was like, oh, okay. He's like, to be honest with you, I don't really dig that deep into the source. I just saw something that wasn't true and I went after it. And I said, yeah, I get it. It's about you. I don't blame you for that. Johnny had a bit of a different concern. We addressed that on the air. I'm more than open to talking to people about this. And, you know, if somebody thinks that we didn't report something accurately, especially if they're involved, reach out to us. I'd rather have a right story, or I'd rather have no story than a wrong story, rather. But I always want the right story. There's no longevity in posting anything that is not true at all. And I always have a lot of respect for the people that we cover, Aleister Black included. It's the type of thing I would like to discuss with him personally, but I don't feel like it's wrong if he put out his opinion publicly, then that I'd do as well. And nothing but love for that guy. He's a very talented performer. And also, yesterday was one of the biggest days of that man's life, so a part of me is like, should I even talk about it? You know what I mean? I can't imagine what the fuck that guy's going through right now. Positively, negatively, anything like that. But, yeah. Mike Bond says, what frustrates you more, hack news outlets with bogus stories or distraction finishes to matches? Well, if there's a distraction finish in a match, I can enjoy another type of wrestling content. I do not like hack news outlets with bogus stories because that affects a lot of the people that are working really hard to do real news. And I know that a lot of people don't think that this job is difficult. I don't think it is because I love it, but there are a lot of people who commit a lot of time to it. Roger says, with WWE going back on the road, any rumored call-ups from NXT? I don't know about rumored call-ups, so to speak, but they are scouting talent right now. Adrian says, do you believe if any of the releases yesterday will show up at All Out in Chicago? Yes, I do. I think we'll see Ruby Riott there. How did this new round of releases impact the locker room morale in WWE? There were some that were surprised, but I feel like they were less surprised than they would have been a month ago. Like, Braun shocked a lot of people. Aleister shocked a lot of people. Ruby upset and saddened a lot of people. Liam says, do you think eventually AEW will have to have two rosters, one for Dynamite and one for Rampage? No. They have said this is not to add a brand split. Haven says, is there anything to rumors that Shayna was linked to the French far right, and could this have played into her release? I don't think that played into her release. She was brought back after those rumors. I think it was more about her interactions with some extras, from what I understand. And I've reached out to her about that and have not heard back. Our friend JJ says, with all the releases that's happened last year, if they become big stars, will investors be asking questions about how come all this talent is making money, and will Vince come under even more pressure to produce ratings? Yes, the investors on those calls have gotten way more aggressive in saying, why isn't this happening? Why is this happening? So it will. Tanner Lee asked about Trios titles. I know that they've discussed them for a while. FTR didn't feel like they needed them quite yet, but I would imagine that when Rampage comes around, it'll happen. That's me assuming. That is not a report. Harry says, what are the qualities a wrestling channel should have? Not necessarily for news. And with that, what brand model of the mic do you prefer to use while streaming? I use a Blue Yeti mic. Mine cut out quite a couple times, but I've used this kind ever since I started in 2015. I'm going to upgrade pretty soon. I think I'm going to upgrade to a higher quality, maybe an XLR mic. I don't know a lot about audio. That's a goal of mine this year to learn more. I can tell you some qualities that I wish mine had. I wish mine had better thumbnails. I wish I had a good producer to do some like WrestleTalk style news videos. I've got some ideas that I'm going to work on, hopefully with Steven Jensen soon though. That I would like to throw his way because he's fucking fantastic. I've got some things that I think you guys are going to like, but I like a good mix of news, review, discussion, and comedy. Bryant Heath says, how big are the plans for Roddy? Is there a reason they're keeping it so close to the vest? Pretty significant from what I understand. Yes, there is a reason they're keeping it so close to the vest. They don't want it out there. Oliver says, any word on NXT UK as a brand being canceled seems a likely budget cut. Nope, those people do not make a ton of money. Kobe says, NXT UK had a loser leaves the brand a while back. Are we getting Amir Jordan anyway in the States, or what's the status on him? Don't know the status on him. I know that there were some UK names that were discussed about possibly moving to the U.S., Isaac Merriweather says, is AEW Rampage going to introduce new titles? As I mentioned, I think the trios will be around there. And when do the 90-day no-competes expire? I mean, they're end of August, early September. And could they forego the paycheck? They can request. I'll say that. They can request. Kevin says, was the TakeOver main event made a multi-man match specifically to take the title off of Cross while protecting him? You know, I think so. I think so. I think that with all this talent moving around, I think Karrion Kross can fill a Braun Strowman role pretty well. You know what I mean? So I do think so, in my opinion. Chris says, do the 90-day non-compete clauses mean they can't do tapings that will air after? For example, could Buddy Murphy do a New Japan taping in July that would air in September? No, they cannot appear on tapings until after that date unless they get it cleared by WWE. Stay tuned. Nathan Farley says, I feel that Samoa Joe would be the best get right now, but I can't remember when he was let go. Did he have a 90-day no-compete? Yes, he had a 90-day no-compete. He will be available mid-July. Charlie says, Jungle Boy and OC have been in a couple of title matches in the past year. Is it time to start building up new young challengers for the title? Charlie, yes, I think so. I think they got to stop leaning on Jungle Boy and OC, especially if they're not going to win. I don't want AEW to be the company that cried wolf. Maybe when those trios titles come around, you got Best Friends in OC, you got Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Marco Stunt. A little bit of something you can do there. Josh says, have you heard anything about the timetable for Becky's return? They were hopeful they could get her for WrestleMania to do something, but no timetable on her return. She looks like $1 million right now. Good for her, but no timetable. They want her back as soon as they can get her, and I would imagine they would want her back in July. I can't say that she'll be back in July, but they probably want her back in July. Mike says, with the way ratings are going, any word on taking back Raw to 2 hours? No discussion of that whatsoever. Any word on if Bo Dallas will ever wrestle again? I'd be surprised if he didn't because he's so young. He's still in his early 30s. But I haven't heard of anybody reaching out to him yet. Cameron says, did Road Dogg get any heat for backing up Drake Wirtz and a lot of his stupid comments? Belief, if not, he should. I haven't heard of any significant heat. Really? I mean, just people that are, like, annoyed with it, I'm sure, but no, like, significant heat or anything like that. Shane says, what acts do you see being called up to fill the vacancies on Raw and SmackDown? Casey, Caden, Karrion Kross, I think LA Knight would be one that they would probably bring up. I think if Vince gets one look at Cameron Grimes and his act, he will be on the main roster. So I think them... I think there's a solid chance that Dakota gets called up and Shotzi. Just my opinion. FWP Jr. says, hear anything about Chris Hero or where he might end up signing? No, I've not heard a thing, and it's been a year. I know he's doing his podcast, though, but I don't have any insight as to where he's going to go. Makovsky says, will AEW ever do a WWE Network type of deal or something with Peacock? all the Dynamites, pay-per-views, make it a certain amount of money per month. I think this would be better than a $50 pay-per-view. I could see them doing something like that with a Warner Media associated streaming service, because it's got to be them. I mean, they're on BR Live, so I think you got to integrate all those, and you could have all those options. And then if you're streaming it live, okay, it doesn't matter if you're not watching it on TV. Aussie Dan says, any news on Authors of Pain, and are you surprised they haven't turned up elsewhere? I do have an update on them coming. I am surprised they have not popped up anywhere. I'm surprised Rezar is not fighting or anything, at least. Joel says, with the recent releases, do you think WWE will lean more towards attempting to replace new talent or new signees and NXT talent or established stars? I think it'll be NXT talent. I think it'll be cheaper talent. Mark says, if the talks between Nick Khan and New Japan are fruitful and an agreement is to come, what would it look like and would it affect AEW in any meaningful way? It would affect AEW in a pretty major way. It'd be one less title, one less set of cameos that could appear there, one less piece of buzz that they could utilize. I mean, people love to talk about New Japan and AEW, and yeah, I think it would affect AEW in a pretty meaningful way. Don't think it would cripple them, but I think it would affect them in a meaningful way. Randy says, are companies like Impact, NWA, and ROH in prime position to scoop up talent released by WWE? Most fans are trying to pencil in most of the talent for AEW, New Japan, or Impact. I think Impact's in a better position than NWA. I don't think NWA's in a great spot right now. They don't really have a major sense of source of income. I mean, they've hired a lot of people that have been off TV for years and years. I think ROH is in a good spot, too. Like, EC3 signed with ROH. That was a really good get. Bryson says, WWE Brass is at the PC. Are they doing tryouts for a big new class, or is it for call-ups? It's for call-ups. It is not for tryouts. This is for the PC Live. They do live events there in-house. Matt says, can you share any more about Leo Rush at Double or Nothing? I like Leo a lot, but it didn't feel natural to me. This was something that Tony Khan wanted to do last September, but when he called Leo Rush to do it, Leo Rush was doing the challenge and was not allowed to have his phone there with him. But Leo is working, doing some work with New Japan as well. He is somebody that surprised a lot of people when he was coming in. Leo had a lot of things working against him, and I'm working to get some more quotes on that. But it was a surprise to a lot of people. Jared's, and you know what? He's done a lot of growing over the last year and a half. I can tell you that in my personal interactions with him. And has been nothing but good to deal with over the last year for me. Jared says, if WWE does end up selling to NBC Universal, do you think Vince will still be in the same role? Or will be more similar to when Turner brought JCP? I think Vince would be a consultant. And I think Nick Khan and Stephanie would run things for a while, and then I think they would transition out of that. Holy cow, guys, an hour. So you'll notice over the last few weeks, I went down from three questions each to one, and it's probably a good thing that I did that. Oh, so many questions. I appreciate you all so much. Man, I can't. It's so humbling to have you guys come up and talk to me and Denise at shows and say hi to us, and so many of you that subscribed. I don't make any bones about it. At the end of the month, like we get a bunch of cancellations because of the Patreon model, and we get a lot of people that fall off, and we made up that and then some. And I would really like for us to hit 2,000 subscribers. I mean, that's something. When Jimmy was saying, oh, let's get to 500, I was like, man, that's unreasonable. I can't do that. And we're closing in on 2,000. It brings a tear to my eye that you guys care about what we're doing and that you believe in us and that you trust us. I say this every show because it will never be lost on me, but thank you guys so much. We're out.